Mark chapter 4, verse 1. And we're going to read quite a few verses. So brace yourselves. 25, wow. It says again, I'm going to read from the Amplified. So if you haven't got that, maybe you can come on the screens, but just follow me the best way you can. Again, Jesus began to teach beside the lake, and a very great crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a ship in order to sit in it on the sea, and the whole crowd was at the lakeside on the shore. And he taught them many things in parables, illustrations, or comparisons, but put beside truths to explain to them, And in his teaching, he said to them, "Give attention to this. Behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he was sowing, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed of the same kind fell on ground full of rocks, where it had much soil. And at once it sprang up, because it had no depth of soil. And when the sun came up, it was scorched. And because it had not taken root, it withered away. Other seed of the same kind fell among thorn plants, and thistles grew and pressed together and utterly choked and suffocated it, and it yielded no grain. And other seed of the same kind fell into the ground, well adapted soil, and brought forth grain, growing up and increasing, and yielding up to 30 times as much, and 60 times as much, and even 100 times as much as had been sown. And he said to them, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear, let him consider and comprehend." And as soon as he was alone, those who were around him with the 12 apostles began to ask him about the parables. And he said to them, "To you it has been entrusted the mystery of the kingdom of God, that is, the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. But to those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable, in order that they may indeed look but not see and perceive, and may hear and hear but not grasp and comprehend, lest haply they should turn again, and it their willful rejection of the truth should be forgiven them." And he said to them, "Do you not discern and understand this parable? How then is it possible for you to discern and understand all the parables? The sower sows the word. The ones along the path are those who have the word sown in their hearts. But when they hear, Satan comes at once and by force takes away the word which is sown in them. And in the same way, the ones sown upon stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, at once receive and accept and welcome it with joy. And they have no real root in themselves. And so they endure for a little while. Then when trouble or persecution arises on account of the word, they immediately are offended. They become displeased, indignant, and resentful, and they stumble and fall away. And the ones sown among thorns are others who hear the word. Then the cares and anxieties of the world and distractions of the age and the pleasure and delight and false glamour and deceitfulness of riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things creep in and choke and suffocate the word, and it becomes fruitless. And those sown on the good, well-adapted soil are those who hear the word and receive and accept and welcome it and bear fruit, some 30 times as much as was sown, some 60 times as much, and some even 100 times as much. And he said to them, "Is the lamp brought in to be put under a peak measure or under a bed, and not to be put on the lampstand? Things are hidden temporarily only as a means to revelation. For there is nothing hidden except to be revealed, nor is anything temporarily kept secret except in order that it might be made known. If any man has ears to hear, let him listen, and let him perceive and comprehend. And he said to them, be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you. And more besides will be given to you who hear. Then he added, pay closer, verse 25. For to him who has will more be given, and to him who has nothing, even what he has will be taken away by force. Even what he has will be taken away by force. What an incredible parable that Jesus shares and explains with his disciples. One key statement I would make tonight is this. Jesus' public ministry to the many was full of parables, but his private ministry to the few was full of revelation. Jesus' public ministry to the many was full of parables, but his private ministry to the few was full of revelation. One of the significant scriptures here is found in verse 11, where he says to them, to you has been entrusted, or to you has been given the mystery or the secrets of the kingdom of God. That is the secret counsels of God, which are hidden from the ungodly. But for those outside of our circle, everything becomes a parable. What we need to understand is we can't just take verse 11 and keep it on its own. To really understand what Jesus is saying in verse 11, we need to read verse 11 in context of what he is describing or trying to explain from verse 1 through to 25. And when he speaks of the parable of the sower and the four different types of soil that the sower sows seed into, Jesus is talking about the different levels of understanding that a child of God might have of the kingdom. Everything that God has called you to do as a follower of Christ is based, or the success, the productivity, the profitability of everything that God has called you to do as a child of God is based on your understanding, the level of understanding that you have of the things of the kingdom. I want to suggest to you today, and I have absolutely no reason to doubt this, that the reason why we are not seeing the things that we should be seeing, not only individually, not only as a church, because we thank God for where we are seeing many things. Even this morning, the Lord healed people. But we're talking about what's happening in the Western church. The reason we are not seeing the things that we long to see, we desire to see, even though we are so thankful and grateful to God for what he is doing, the reason why we are not seeing the things that we should be seeing is because there is a limited level of understanding of the things of the kingdom. The things of the kingdom of heaven. It's so foreign to many children of God. But you have been born again into a kingdom. You are a citizen of a heavenly kingdom. Physically, you are on earth. But spiritually, your residence and your citizenship, I beg your pardon, is in heaven. Your residence is on the earth. That's where you are. But your citizenship spiritually is in heaven. When we recognize that even in the spirit, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, we will start to understand that the limitations that we have placed on our lives, the limitations that we have placed on the things that, regarding the things that God has called us to do, the limitations that we have placed on how the Lord desires to manifest His glory and His majesty through our lives will be taken off of us. When we start to understand these deep truths of the kingdom, these deep truths can only be grasped the deeper you go. The deeper, I spoke about deep roots this morning, and the deeper those roots grow, the more you will understand the deep, deep things of God. There are deep, deep things of God that the child of God must understand. Paul speaks about this in the first book of Corinthians in the second chapter. He talks about the Spirit of the Lord recognizing and understanding even the deep things of God. And those deep things have been made known to us by that same Holy Spirit. And the only way that you and I can truly, truly cause transformation to take place, not only in the lives of those around us, but in the lives of people that we don't even know. You got to know this tonight, that God is calling you to raise, is raising you up to change and transform the lives of people you don't know. People that you might never even meet. How will he do that? Well, you're gonna transform the life of somebody and sow seeds into someone's life, and they're gonna go off and sow seeds into someone else's life. The things that the Lord is now pouring out into you, the things that you and I must understand, is gonna be transferable to other people. People who, for whatever reason, have not been able to understand how to obtain these things for themselves. So God raises you up to be a seed bearer, but also a seed sower. They don't know how to sow seeds for themselves. They don't understand how to get into the Word of God. But God is speaking to you as one who is being taught, as one who is sitting under sound ministry. And He is challenging you and stretching you and raising you up to be someone who has learned how to dig deep. You know, who has learned how to not just be satisfied with the surface things of God. Let me tell you, the surface things of God are amazing. The surface things of God are incredible. And we see Him happening all the time. God is an amazing God, even at the surface. But He says that there are deep things. There are deep things in me. Things that you haven't even begun to fathom. And He says when you get hold of those deep things and you start to release them into the lives of those who aren't yet able to do what you can do, they not only will their lives be transformed, but God will use you to save whole households that you will never meet. God will use you to transform generations of people that you will never even know about. Because you've understood how to dig deep and lay hold of the truths of God's word. But they queried Him because they could not understand the meaning of the parable that He was sharing. Talking about seeds being sown, which is the word of God. And they said to Him, We don't get it. We don't understand what this parable means. We don't understand what this parable means. And Jesus said to them, if you don't understand what this parable means, how are you going to understand the other parables? I mean, you guys, I'm looking to you to be the individuals that will begin a church, my church, my body, that I will use to transform the world, that will bring glory and honor to my name, that will fulfill my desires, my will, my great commission until I return. A church that will be the instrument, the vehicle, if you like, of salvation, healing, deliverance, transformation for the next 2,000 plus years until my return. But you mean to tell me that even at this stage, you don't understand this simple parable? And that was the problem. Because their understanding of the kingdom was so small. It was so limited. They had not seen the resurrected Lord yet. They had not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit yet. So these things they could not fathom. They could not process what the Lord was saying. But after they had seen the resurrected Lord, and after they had received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was a completely different story. Well, let me tell you something, friends. Tonight, you need to know that you have seen the resurrected Lord. That's why you're here. And His Spirit is on the inside of you. You may not yet have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but His Spirit is on the inside of you. That is why you are spiritually awake. If you haven't yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then you must receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, because that is absolutely dependent. That is the one thing that you must receive if you are to get hold of and comprehend the deep things of God. If you are to be determined not to be a kind of like a pathway Christian, where this word is sown and it falls by the wayside. The seed of God's word is sown and it falls by the wayside. Where you are determined not to be one where the seeds are sown and it falls upon stony ground. And those roots, as I said this morning, are just not deep enough. But because those roots are just not deep enough, when persecution comes, because of the word that you have heard, because of the words that you have believed, because of the words that you have celebrated, when persecution comes, you will not be able to stand. So the roots that God is drawing down from you into the soil of life, into the rich soil of His goodness, of His mercy, of His faithfulness, of His abundance, these roots have got to be deep roots. This wonderful baptism of the Holy Spirit ensures that we're not going to be ones where the seed of God's word is sown amongst stony grounds, where I just love the way the Amplified puts it. It's so beautiful. Just brings it to life. Where he explains it further, and he says, when you hear the word, you receive it, but then the cares and anxieties of the world. And the distractions of this age, cares and anxieties. Here you are, child of God, you're born again, your citizenship is in heaven. God has detached you from this world. He's called you out. That's the meaning of ecclesia. That's the meaning of the church, ecclesia, called out ones. He has called you out of this world because He has work for you to do. Because you have been summoned. When you are born again, you are summoned to the heavenly court. You read about the heavenly court in the book of Job, the first chapter. You pick up the New Living Translation. I love the way it's portrayed in New Living Translation. It talks about the heavenly court, where the Lord summons all of the sons of God. Well, as a child of God, you have a completely separate dispensation. Because the heavenly court is in the second heaven. But the Lord ushers you into the third heaven, into the most holy and most sacred place of God. And he says, you need to come close. I have called you out from the world. So why are the cares and the anxieties of the world I've called you out from still plaguing your life? The roots that the seeds have been sown, and they were sown in rocky soil. That's a whole different story. The Lord Jesus himself is going to take care of that, because the soil is the soil of the heart. And the Lord Jesus is going to take care of all that rockiness and all the hardness and everything else. And maybe even tonight he can do some work on you. But you know, apart from that, you know, you're sown, and these words of life are being sown. They are being sown. Like I shared this morning, and I spoke about, you know, the first part of to the church that overcomes. And I asked the question, you know, what have you allowed the Holy Spirit to do concerning falling in love with Jesus again? Because when I spoke that word and I preached it from the word of God, they weren't my words. I preached it from the word of God. We all had a choice. To allow the Holy Spirit to rotivate and to tenderize our hearts, to pull up every rock and to remove every weed, to remove every thorn, to remove every thistle, to prune us and prune us and prune us and prune us again until this word truly falls in good soil, so that we can truly, truly learn how to love Jesus again. What have we done? Because that's what makes the difference, you see. He says, well, I've called you out. I've called you out of the world. Why are these anxieties still troubling you? Why are these cares still troubling you? It's not that he's saying that you get saved. We all know you get saved. It doesn't automatically mean trouble is over. For many of us, we get saved, and that's when the troubles begin. But now he says you've got a different location. You're living in a different place. You are far above. You're far above. But it's about attitude. It's about dispensation. It's about your perception. Idahosa says that your attitude will determine your altitude. The Lord says that you are high, but your attitude determines where your position is. If our attitude is right, then if he says we're high, even if in the physical we are low, in the spirit we are high. But if our attitude is not a good attitude, then in the physical we are low, and in the spiritual we are low. So, you know, he says, come on, what are these cares? What are these anxieties? What are these distractions? And then he talks about the pleasure and delight, and then the false glamour. My goodness me. Just look at the life of the typical celebrity. The life of the rich and famous. I'm going to be talking about that either next week or the week after, man. Talking about this dead church. You would think that they thought they were rich, but they were poor. They were absolutely broke. They were spiritually bankrupt. False glamour that dazzles us. Deceitful riches and the craving and passionate desire for other things that creep in and choke and suffocate the word. And this is the thing. They don't choke and suffocate us. They choke and they suffocate the very thing that has to give us life. Why should the enemy waste his time with us when all he has to do is cut off our life supply? If he knows that he can cut off our life supply, then he doesn't have to worry about us, because we will eventually die. We are born again. We are saved by the precious blood of Jesus. We have been filled with his Holy Spirit, but we are still walking around like a valley of dry bones. But you see, what the Lord is doing in this place is that he is bringing about revelation. I'm going to touch on that very shortly. He is bringing about revelation that is going to change all of that. He just needs to choke the word. And he's bringing about a revelation that is going to cause every single one of us to know and to learn how to get the soil of our hearts ready every single time the word of God is spoken over us. Every single time. Every single time. Jesus' public ministry to the many was full of parables, but his private ministry to the few was full of revelation. In order for us to get these hearts ready, our hearts ready, put the soil of our hearts ready for the seed of God's word, in order for us to be able to do that, the scriptures gives us four things that we must do, that we must do in order for this heart to be ready. The first thing that we've got to do, obviously, is to learn to get alone with him, to get alone with God, get alone with Jesus, get alone with Jesus. Turn off the television, man. Come off the phone. Give Facebook a break. Come away. Lock yourself away and present yourself to him. Why? Because the secrets or the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven are for those who are close, not far off. They are for those who have come close to him and who are not outsiders. Jesus had a circle. He didn't come for everybody. You got to understand this now. He came to die for the world, absolutely. But in his time of earthly ministry, he did not just give himself to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. He had to be intentional with his time. And he had to be absolutely intentional about who he was going to sow his word himself, because he is the word, into. You know, you need to be careful who you're wasting time hanging out with. And you need to be careful. You really need to be careful what you are wasting time doing. Because that time that is wasted is not only going to keep you from receiving the things that Jesus has prepared for you, but is going to keep you from pouring it out into those that you have been ordained to raise up. You need to get alone with him. Spend time in his presence. Spend time in his presence. His presence is wonderful. His presence is beautiful. His presence is where there is fullness of joy. His presence and his presence alone. Sue and I have spoken about this many times. One of the things that we are, a phrase that we are kind of working out of our vocabulary, I guess not permanently, but we are really putting it in its place, is this. It's something to look forward to. You have a holiday booked. It's something to look forward to. You're going out for a meal. It's something to look forward to. You're going to the cinema. It's something to look forward to. You're going to have coffee with a friend. It's something to look forward to. You're going clothes shopping. Hey, man. That's my favorite. It's something to It's something to look forward to. We are always looking forward to something. You know why? Because we have forgotten how to be content with the moment. Jesus is not just in the forward to, he is in the moment. And because we are so passionate about the looking forward to, we forget that he is in the now. Get alone with him. Stop and learn to spend time in the moment. Spend time in his presence. You know, switch everything off. Because there's times when you've got to have stillness. You've got to have silence. But it's difficult to have silence when the cares and the anxieties and the distractions of this world are plaguing your mind. So it takes work. You've got to work at it. You have to make yourself, you've got to bring your mind under subjection to your spirit. You need to let your mind know who's the boss, and you need to quieten your soul. Like the psalmist says, I have quieted myself like a baby that is being weaned. I have stilled myself like a baby that is satisfied. You got to learn how to quieten yourself and quieten your mind, quieten your thoughts, so that you can not only recognize the Jesus who is in the moment, but you can enjoy him. Learn to get alone with God. Every single person who's been alone with the Lord has never come out of that place the same. When Abraham was alone with the Lord, he came out very different. He had a name change. Moses, exactly the same situation. His face shone. It was radiant. The glory was on him because he had got alone with God. Everyone, this thing that we have, we can't be on our own. We got to have company. We got to have something happening. There's got to be something going on. God needs to help us break it. When Jesus was in that wilderness, he was on his own for 40 days and 40 nights on his own. When Moses was on that mountain, he was there on his own for 40 days and 40 nights. He was there on his own. We got to learn to get alone with God. You've heard of all these pastors, these radical pastors from other parts of the world. I mean, I love to come across these testimonies. You know, where this pastor, he had two consecutive 40-day fasts. For one wasn't enough for him. But he would take himself in deep into the forest. I'm thinking, come on now, isn't there a beautiful log cabin somewhere that's just lovely and there's a nice fire burning, you know, and creature comforts, you know, Sergio, we like our creature comforts, man, you know. Come on now, you know. You know what I'm talking about, barbecue. You know, I mean, give me that any day. I'm good, Lord, you know. A nice retreat with a spa. Wonderful. No, he goes into a forest. And he finds a cave. And he stays in that cave. And he prays and he fasts. And he doesn't eat anything. He just drinks from a stream. He gets alone with God. Elijah got alone with God. All throughout history, we see the world being transformed. Just listen to this now. The world not only being transformed, but being shaped. You know, forget all this nonsense of the so-called conspiracy theorists and the Masons and the Bilderbergers and Illuminati and all that trash. It'll make no difference if it's real or not real. This world is being shaped by the body of Christ. Okay, you don't believe me. All right, that's fine. It will drop soon. This world and the history of this world has always been in the hands of God. At what point did God lose control? Not one single second. Who is his body? We are. And this world is being shaped by men and women who have learned how to get alone with God. I've labored this point. I've said this before. My time was a cubicle, toilet cubicle, disabled toilet cubicle. It was the only one that was big enough and clean enough. I'm not disabled. I did feel a little bit guilty for using it, but hey, you know, when the glory came into that cubicle, I was good. It did scare a guy once, though, who heard me kind of like wailing. Oh, you know, I was wailing. Literally, I was just wailing and worshiping God, and he thought that I had a problem. Problem that goes on in toilets. He thought I had an issue, but you know, he didn't understand that I was in the glory of God. You do some really interesting things when you are really hungry for Jesus. Other times I would do what normal people did and just go out for a walk, find a field somewhere and just go out and spend time. I had to get alone with God. I don't get alone with God as much as I used to. In fact, I get alone less with God now that I'm in full-time ministry than I did when I wasn't. That's the first thing you need to do. The second thing is when you are alone with him, you need to ask him to reveal the hidden truth in his word. So the first one, verse 10a, as soon as he was alone, get alone with God. The second one, verse 10b, those who were around him, get around Jesus. The 12 apostles began to ask him about the parables. You need to ask him. You need to interrogate God. Why? Because mystery comes from the Greek word mysterion, which means the counsels of God, once hidden but now revealed in the gospel. It talks about Christian revelation. It talks about particular truths or details of the Christian revelation that has now been made available to us. Mysterion is basically something knowable. It is knowable. It is discoverable. It is what can only be known through revelation because God reveals it. It's not just for the preachers and the teachers. It's an absolute must for every single child of God. Study this word. Get onto Bible Gateway. You know, go to studylight.org. It's very simple. Studylight.org. Go on to that. There are thousands of commentaries. There are so many different ways that you can study the scriptures. So many different ways. If you're not online, there are so many books that you can get hold of. And if you can't get any of that, just get open your Bible and sit in the presence of God. And he will speak to you. He will show you the truth. Ask him. Ask him to reveal to you the truth of his word. And he will do so. The hidden truths, hidden for you and not from you. They are yours to discover. Not just those of you who have been called for platform ministry. Because the thing about it is, if we don't get alone with him, then we stand a risk of being by the wayside heart. The word comes, but it's taken away by force. We don't get alone with him, and we don't inquire of him, and we don't go any deeper, then we are at risk of having a heart that is rocky and is callous and is unable to have the right conditions for deep roots to grow. we don't get along with God, we don't inquire of him, then again, you know, our hearts could be full of thorns and thistles, and we haven't allowed the head gardener, the chief vine dresser, to come and address those issues in our hearts. And everything that we would ever need for life and godliness is found in his word. It is, spiritually speaking, our very source of life. By the same Holy Spirit who comes to live on the inside of us, he gets hold of this word and he uses this word to infuse us with life. How is it possible for us to even think for 1 second that we can function right as believers if we go days and even sometimes weeks without opening the Bible? Came across that wonderful joke. I didn't get it at first, but man, when I got it, it was so powerful. This pastor goes to a family meal. He gets invited by a husband and a wife, and had a great time, had a good meal. And he left, and all of a sudden, the wife noticed that a spoon, and it was, you know, pastor comes, you get the best things out. So when you invite me into, just a little hint, just you don't want any kind of, like, you know, it's got to be the best, and definitely the best food, amen. In fact, never mind the place and the spoon, just the food, amen. I'm there. I'm back now. All right. So, you know, she noticed that a spoon was missing. Spoon was an heirloom. It passed down for generations. You know, a spoon was missing. She noticed that. And said to the husband, you know, our spoon is missing. And ever since pastor came, we noticed it had gone from that point in time. And the guy said, well, look, even if he took it, we can't really. It's a spoon. And he's our pastor. You know, we can't bother him. It's just a spoon. Don't worry about it. Anyway, a whole year passed. And invited pastor again for dinner. He came, sat down, had a lovely dinner. And she had been sitting on this for 12 months. I mean, this thing had been eating her up for 12 months. And I can empathize because, you know, I'm very, very particular about, you know, she's a woman of the house and it's her kitchen, but I'm very particular about our crockery. I am. And if something goes missing, I will spot it. And I tell you, it needs to be. Recently, we almost had an incident. And thank God, I found it. It was a knife. I thought it was one of my favorite knives, and I couldn't find it. And I thought to myself, okay, I think I know where it is, and I am going to have a chat with that person. Seriously. Yes. And I had it. She said to me, have another look. I had another look, and eventually I found this knife. And I was like, it was like finding one of my babies. You know, it was absolutely a wonderful feeling. So I can understand. This thing was eating her up for 12 months. Eventually, in fact, I think that the only reason why she invited pastor to come back to her house again was because she was going to interrogate him about this spoon. So he eats dinner, and at the end of it, she plucks courage, and then she asks the question. And she just comes out with it. She said to him, the last time you came here, a year ago, did you take one of our spoons with you? And he said to her, yes, I did. But it didn't leave this house. She said, really? Well, I have searched everywhere and I haven't found this spoon. So where on earth did you put it if you did not take it out of this house? He said, I put it in your Bible. Don't help her out, man. That's different Bibles. I put it in your Bible. God have mercy. We thank God for Bible in a year. That's why as a church, we've committed ourselves to reading this Bible, going through the Word of God. interrogating the scriptures and sitting in the presence of the Lord and saying, God, open up the word. That's why you sit here, you hear me say something or anyone else who preaches from this platform that doesn't agree with your spirit. You don't keep quiet about that. You come up to me or send me a message and say, hey, what did you mean by that? I don't get it. And if I have to explain something to bring more clarity, then amen, so be it. But if I get it wrong, come on, maybe I missed that. Maybe I've said it wrong. You know, this is how you prepare yourselves in these last days from deception. Even the elect will be deceived, not may or might be deceived. They will be deceived. And this is how you ready yourself, because these seeds, the word of God that has been sown in your heart, hasn't fallen by the wayside. The mysteries of the kingdom are being revealed, thereby empowering you to be the man and woman of God he has called and ordained for you to be. Get alone with God. Ask him to reveal the truth of in his word, the mystery, the mysterion, the secrets. And number three, hear his voice, because he will speak to you. He will speak to you. He will speak to you. That's why he says in verse 23, if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. He will speak to you. If anyone has ears to hear, and that's really the issue. Because in many cases, we don't have ears to hear. The frequency, our ears are tuned to a different frequency. So we're not on the same wavelength as the Holy Spirit. So we don't have ears to hear. Even when he's speaking, we don't hear. Even when he is shouting, we don't hear. He whispers, we don't hear. He talks quite louder, we don't hear. He shouts, we don't hear. Because our ears are not tuned to the frequency of his voice. Despite the fact that we are children of the kingdom, we still can't discern the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that's what the Lord is changing. That's what he's transforming, even in our very lives. That's what he's renewing. He's opening up our spiritual ears so that we can hear his voice again. When you get alone with God, and you ask him to reveal the truth of his word, he will speak to you. And you need to be ready to hear him. To hear him means you need to tune out from something else. What do you need to tune out from? Whatever it is, man, it was rhetorical. For all of you, it's individual, it's personal. But you know what you need to tune out from. You know what you need to come, because you know something? There is nothing more wonderful than the Spirit of the Lord speaking to you. God himself is having a conversation with you. How often we take this for granted? You just stop and think about it for 1 second. The one who created you has counted every hair on your head. He knows every cell in your body, every muscle, every sinew, every aspect of your being, as intricate as you are. The whole universe cannot be compared to your intricacy. His hand spans the whole universe. But yet, you, one single individual, one human being, one child of God, is more intricate than all of his creation combined. And he is saying, I want to now speak to you and speak with you. We got to tune our ears from away from things. These things, forget about voices in your head. You know, you've gone through all kinds of different life experiences that keep on barking and calling your name and trying to get your attention. You know, all these cravings, all these hungers, all these desires, all these lusts, all these temptations, all these rejections, all these failures, all these things, nag, 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 nip, 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 nip. They keep on barking and barking and barking and barking and barking and demanding your attention. He is saying, I need to speak with you. You need to switch off. Turn that thing off and turn this on, because I need you to hear my voice. Because if we can't hear his voice, then we're going to have a problem with the next thing. Because hearing is one thing, paying attention is another. And all the men, and in fact, all the women said amen. Okay, you don't. Okay, the next time your husband does that, don't have a go at him. What did I say? Well, don't ask him what I said, because when I asked you the question on Sunday, you didn't say anything. I said all the women said amen. Okay, all right, yeah. I'll take that one. I won't press it anymore. I'm not going to be unkind. Yeah. Like I said, only do I always hear my wife, I listen to my wife. Yes, thank you, Lord. I just had to repent. You know you zone out sometimes. Come on, guys. You just zone out sometimes. Not all the time. No? Am I on my own? Yeah, I know I'm not on my own. Chickens. I'm surrounded by, yeah. Man up. Yeah. Your wife isn't here, man, so you can get away with it. Because there's a difference between hearing and listening. When you listen, you're paying attention to the one who's speaking. We zone out. We're not, we finally tuned in. And the whole process of tuning in is paying attention. Let Jesus distract you from your distractions. When Jesus begins to distract you from your distractions, then you will tune in to what he's saying and you will pay attention. To pay attention is to listen. When you open this Bible, you open your Bible, and you know that is when you open your Bible and you come to that scripture that you have read over 100 times. And you have missed it over 100 times. And all of a sudden, by the grace of God, you have tuned off from the thing that has nip, and you have given him your attention. You have allowed him to distract you from your distraction, and you've read it 100 times, and all of a sudden, boom, it becomes three-dimensional. You see it. And there comes revelation. Here comes revelation. Let's have the band back. Get alone with God. Ask him to reveal the hidden truth of his word. Hear his voice. Pay attention to what he says. Because you cannot, I must emphasize this point as I close. If you are to be the kingdom man and woman of God that he has called you to be, you must be transformed. You have got to be transformed. If you are to be productive, if you are to be fruitful, if you are to be profitable, if God is to bring some 30-fold, some 60-fold, some 100-fold through your life, you know something? Man, you don't want to get to the end and you have zero profitability. Thank you, Lord. I've just kind of got in by the skin of my teeth. No. You don't want that. Trust me. You don't want that. Let's not talk about the parable of the talents and what happened to the one who went and buried his talent, his single talent. You don't want to have zero profitability. You know something? Your life has to count for something. And in Jesus' name, it will count for something if you can begin to put in practice the principles of the kingdom strategies that God is releasing into your life. And if you can lay hold of those principles and apply them to every aspect, you don't need to quit your job. You don't need to walk away from this, that, or the other. You don't need to quit education. When you apply the principles of God's kingdom just where you are at, he will make you profitable in every area of your life. Because you don't want to stand before him that day and you got zero profitability. That's not going to be good. I'm telling you right now. That will not be good at all. But the Holy Spirit will bring you into a place where, as you spend time alone with Him, as you ask Him to show you the hidden truths of His Word, as you hear His voice, and as you give attention to what He is saying, as you allow Him to captivate you again, you know, anything that has the power to captivate you will also have the power to hold you captive. If this world can captivate you, it will hold you captive. But if Jesus can captivate you, then He will hold you captive. And Lord, I'm yours. You can captivate me and hold me captive as long as you want. I am your bond servant. And God would say to you, when you allow His Spirit to do what only He can do, you will become profitable. Because this is the thing. In order for you to be profitable, in order for you to do the kingdom things that God has called you to do, you must allow His Spirit to get hold of your heart and transform you. But transformation, you know something? If you can't remember any, transformation is completely and utterly impossible where there is no revelation. Some of you, you know something? You are meant to go from glory to glory. But for some of you, you've got to G. You haven't even gone to L. Gl. You have not even gone from glory to glory to glory. You've just gone to gl. Because of what you have allowed life to do to you. But you must be transformed. And we can never ever be transformed if we do not receive revelation concerning our transformation. And we can never be vessels of transformation until we are transformed ourselves. Therefore, we break free from the limitations and these small depths of understanding and knowledge concerning the things of the kingdom. And by the grace of God, we will learn how to dig deep. Not because you might never preach, you might never ever have platform ministry, but God will use you as His platform. God will use your life as His pulpit. In wherever you are, in your place of work, in your business, God will use your life as His pulpit. And as you are being transformed, He will use you to transform others.